2020 vision, everybody. 2020 vision. Can you guys believe that it's already the end of January? Oh my gosh. Where did yes. The time just flew. Oh my gosh. We're like family weekend already in January, and I was just kind of sitting at home and kind of reflecting on it. Like, wow, we have a communion this weekend. That's awesome, right? But it's already the last weekend of January. So how's your January so far? God revealing a lot of things to you, God speaking to you, God showing you a lot of things, making adjustments, recalibrating in your life, right? And that's what we want. That's what we need, right? And sometimes you don't expect it, but that's what we want. So I want to do a review like I always do. 2020 vision, His vision, God's vision, our focus, right? You remember in week one, of course, kind of defining vision. It's a dream is what could be, but a vision is what should be. You know, what's the difference? Of course, when we dream of something, it all happens in our minds first. It happens in the spiritual realm, right? Before it happens physically, before it manifests physically. But making God's vision our focus in 2020, and of course, God's 2020 vision will give us passion, pathway, and purpose. In other words, when we make that switch, brothers and sisters, from just a dream to a vision, you guys notice that there's always energy behind it? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's always energy behind that dream when it converts or transforms into a vision. Well, that's passion. That's your purpose in life, right? So pay attention to those things. The definition of a vision, this is according to King James Dictionary. It is a revelation from God, an appearance or exhibition of something supernaturally or prophetically presented by which informs future events. So again, you know, I like to ask people, so what has God been revealing to you, right? Teresa and I, we sat down with a wonderful couple, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, God has revealed to me that we need to get married, like right now. I said, that's great, that's awesome, go for it, you know. We sat down with another couple and they were talking, we're debt-free, you know, we applied all these principles that we learned and we're debt-free now and all this kind of stuff. And so we see God revealing, everybody say revealing, all these little signs along the way. When people start making changes, people start making adjustments, people start recalibrating their lives, and not only in their lives, but our lives as well, amen? It is an appearance or exhibition of something supernatural. Well, what does supernatural mean? Something that you would possibly never even considered in the past, right? You're kind of going along your own path in life, hunky-dory, and all of a sudden God flips a switch on you and sends you in a different trajectory, and you're like, wow, I never even considered that before. That's supernatural, right? Or prophetically presented, something that we speak out because there's power in our words, by which informs future events, right? And can I just add that when we prophesy or when we speak something prophetically, it's to build the church. It's to not only encourage you, us, me, you, but it's also to encourage everyone else. Can I get an amen? Right? So as we take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on other people, right, it is to build the church. It is to expand the kingdom of God. Amen? The definition of vision. Week two, we talked about our holy discontent. Yeah? If there's something in your life that God, once again, is revealing to you and wants you to do something about it, do a search and do a survey. Take notes, gather data in your life, right? And oftentimes I talk about how it takes courage to look in the mirror and ask yourself, what are these things I need to change about myself? Because I want to live a blessed life, amen? How come God's not blessing me? Well, you got to live a life that's worth blessing. So there's a standard in which we have to live, right? And God lays it all out in His Word, amen? But we do a search, we do a survey of, remember the three things? Ourselves, our relationships, and our world around us, amen? And that causes us to pause and to pray, right? Praying, We ask the Lord, we confess certain things about our lives, about ourselves, and also we come to God very thankful, very grateful, ACT, right? And then, you know, when we have holy discontents, you know, something that we want to change, we have to own it, and then we obey the Lord in terms of how He wants us to proceed. Amen. And so real quick, remember this, I shared how something moves you to compassion. In the book, in the Gospel of Matthew, the word tells us that God, or Jesus, was looking out into the crowd, and then He saw people, they were wandering around like sheep. Okay, so Jesus noticed that these people were wandering around aimlessly in life. They were leaderless, they were shepherdless, and so Jesus was moved to compassion on them, right? Figure out what spiritually offends you, right? I shared how sometimes people say there's more than one way to get to heaven. How many of you guys heard that before, right? Well, that spiritually offends me, amen? Figure out what your non-negotiables are. What are your non-negotiables? Coming to church on Sunday at 9 a.m., that's a non-negotiable for me, right? And that's something that we instilled into our family life, right? Praise the Lord. Those are our convictions. Coming together, worshiping the Lord, those are our convictions, right? What are you going to engage in? And that, I'm glad that Giselle, you know, she thanked the eye care team that went out last week. Amen. Spent some time at the Kapunas, the Kapuna housing over there. And when you think about it, really, you look out into the community and you see, you know, there shouldn't be people out there who are hungry, who are homeless, that are in need of different things, of material things. Certainly we can do something to help. Certainly we can do something to engage in. Can I get an amen? Right? And then figure out what you're responsible for. I shared three things that I'm personally responsible for, and that is my own spiritual walk. Nobody can do that for me. Nobody can do that for you. You ought to be responsible for your own spiritual walk, right? And as a husband, I'm responsible for my marriage. And as a father, I'm responsible for my children, the well-being, the welfare of my children, amen? Nobody should do that for me. Nobody ought to do that for me. That's my responsibility, right? And so I ask myself, if there are some things in my life that I have neglected, all of these things ought to be concerns for us. All of these things ought to be holy discontents for us. And I go back to responsibility when parents do not take responsibility for their marriage, or husbands don't take responsibility for their marriage, or fathers don't take responsibility for their children. That's a holy discontent for me, right? So anyway, it's kind of giving you a taste of what goes on in here. Hallelujah. Week three, this is last week, and how many of you guys agree Pastor Teresa was on fire again? You see what I live with? Amen. I love that about her. But she was going on and on about unity, right? She talked about what God originates, God orchestrates. Hallelujah. In other words, what God brings up to you, right, God makes a way for it to happen. And that's why, of course, Waymaker is such a powerful song. Waymaker is such an appropriate song in this season. Amen. When God orchestrates, He calls the orchestra. Now, of course, you know, I have five wonderful children, four wonderful children that went through the music program over in Mililani ever since they were in middle school. And I remember Braden, of all things, he played the bass clarinet. You guys remember that? You know, they're laughing at him. Misha played violin. Of course, you know, Giselle plays saxophone. Micah played French horn and also trumpet and all that kind of stuff. So they were pretty good. They have a great music program out there, you know, just like they do over here in Wailua. You know, but just kind of watching this, and I remember, you know, Giselle, for example, she would come home and she would practice this one line on her saxophone until she got it perfect. She was a perfectionist in that regard. You know, she would just practice this one line, it's one line. And I remember watching her in the actual symphony when it was time to perform, and I would just watch her. And the majority of the time she would rest, right? And then she would just blurt out this one line, and that was like the climax of the song, right? So the point I'm trying to make, brothers and sisters, is that sometimes you think your role in the grand scheme of things is very little. But when the time comes, get ready, because that's when God needs you, and your effort, your contribution really matters. Can I get an amen? So when God orchestrates, He calls the orchestra, and of course, uniting our gifts as one, right? Everybody is made up differently. Everybody has different talents. Everybody has different makeups. Everybody has different strengths. Everybody has different weaknesses. We come together and we band as one. Amen. Today, 2020 vision, His vision, our focus, we're going to be talking about grit versus the enemy. Now, you will notice that we do not have bulletin notes. Yeah? You guys are aware of that already? We don't have bulletin notes? Say it again, Laura. Save paper, she said. Absolutely. Save the trees, she said. Yeah. Save money. How's that? Yeah. Save money, save paper, save the trees. Absolutely. And so we want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to go visit the seed table. We have diaries over there. They have journals over there. And start taking notes, if you want. Okay. Just to let you know. And so all the campuses, well, I don't know, as far as Hala Eva, but we're not going to have any notes anymore. Okay? Because we figure we don't need them. Anyway. Grit versus the enemy. Okay, now, how many of you guys have ever felt opposition? Yeah? I see all the hands going up. Absolutely. All the hands going up. But you know what? Praise the Lord. Just give the Lord a hand clap. Because you know what it means? It means you're doing something good. That's what it means, right? Progress in spite of opposition. That's what my Bible said, so I wrote it down. I like that. How many of you guys, when you guys made the decision to focus on the Lord, to follow Jesus Christ, all of a sudden all this stuff started happening, right? You're progressing. Man, my life is good. Jesus is in my life, you know. Jesus is in my heart. You know, I follow Jesus. Yeah, all of a sudden all this stuff started happening. And you know why? Because God is cleaning house. God wants to take all that yucky stuff and just kind of bring it to the light so that you could address them and then you can get rid of them once and for all. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, right? And so Nehemiah, and I only found this comic cartoon picture. I was kind of looking for something else, but this works, right? Nehemiah, I'm going to assume he's the one in blue, right? And then you got the, what do you call those, hecklers, those guys in the red and the yellow, right? How many of you guys have hecklers in your life? Now, don't be shouting them out, but we all have hecklers in our life. Amen. This is Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. It says, when Sanballat, sounds Filipino, heard that we were rebuilding the wall, right? Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall. He became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? So I'm like, well, why you got to be racist for, right? And he's being racist. Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? And so I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, here's this heckler. First of all, he came up with this racial comment. And then now he's saying, you guys won't be able to do it. You guys need help from God. I mean, look at this task. You guys actually think you guys can rebuild this wall? You guys can't do it on your own power. That's what he's saying, right? It's impossible. Will they offer sacrifices? Will you invoke the help of God, is what he's saying, right? But you know what caught me, brothers and sisters? You know what caught me? When it says that Sanballat, the Filipino guy, when it says that he became angry and was greatly incensed. Now, of course, being incensed means you're raging. You're raging. You got steam coming out of your ears. You're probably all, you know, you're high blood and all this kind of stuff. Right? So he was greatly enraged. And I thought to myself, why is Sanballat, why is he so angry? What's it to him? Right? Did you guys ever notice that? They're rebuilding the wall. So what? Big deal. Okay, they want the presence of God. I get that. They're Jews. Okay, I get that. But what's it to him? You know, and you know what the Lord told me? The Lord told me that anger, everybody say anger, is an evil spirit. Anger is an evil spirit. Now there's differences in anger, okay? We talked about how Jesus was, his holy discontent was when he saw the people gambling in his father's house in the temple and he upturned the tables. That was more of a holy, a righteous anger, okay? But this is the kind of anger where you want to destroy stuff. You want to kill, you want to murder, you want to stop a life. This is the kind of anger that just wants to demolish things, okay? And I'll show you what I'm talking about. Genesis 4, if you guys are familiar with this story, this is the story of Cain and Abel, the first murder in the Bible, right? Genesis 4:6, it says, "Why are you angry?" Now, this is God speaking to Cain before he killed his own brother. "Why are you angry?" the Lord asked him. "Why is your face so dark with rage?" In other words, why is your face, why are you so incensed? Why is there a spirit about you? Because it shows on your face. "It can be bright with joy if you will do what you should." In other words, you choose. "But if you refuse to obey, watch out. Sin is waiting to attack you, longing to destroy you, but you can conquer it." So we have the power to overcome this type of anger because we're together, intimate with God. So ultimately, you see, brothers and sisters, it's our decision to want to be overwhelmed or to want to be overcome or to let anger overwhelm us or overcome us. Can I get an amen? Am I making sense? But you see how it is a spirit. And so this spirit was inside of Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. Okay, John 8, it says, "For you are of your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the desires which are characteristic of your father, the devil. For he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth." To stand in the truth, brothers and sisters, is to stand in the presence of God. Now, why do I say that? Because the Gospel of John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we know that the Word is the truth. So therefore, wherever there's the Word, there is the presence of God. And so the devil did not want to accept the truth. Therefore, he separated himself from God. Can I get an amen? Because there is no truth in the devil. So the thief, John 10, the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and everybody say it, destroy. And what was Sanballat trying to do? He was trying to destroy their plan. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So you guys see that? Going back to Nehemiah 4. So now Tobiah is talking and saying, "Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Now I'm assuming this is the guy in the yellow shirt. "Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, 'What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stone.'" So he's basically saying that it's never going to stand, that even an animal like a fox, if he jumps on it, right, it's going to tumble over. That's not going to work. So we can see them heckling at what Nehemiah is doing. So number one, opposition is inevitable. When you have a God vision, know that opposition is inevitable. Now you guys have raised your hands saying, "Yeah, I've experienced some opposition in my life." I remember, you know, back in the day when I first started, you know, I was a born-again Christian, right? I started going to church. I started going every week because I was hungry. I realized there was a lot that I needed to learn. I realized there was a lot that I didn't know about the Holy Spirit and the power that the Holy Spirit had in my life. I was excited about it, right? And then my mom looked at me weird. My dad looked at me weird and said, "How come you don't want to go to the beach anymore?" "Well, I'm going to go to church, Dad." "Well, let's go fishing." I go, "Yeah, wait till I come home," right, from church. So my dad, although he never really, you know, talked smack behind my back, he never really did that. It was just a big question mark for him, like, what is going on, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So I noticed all my other friends would be like, how come you don't want to do this anymore? How come you don't want to do that anymore? And in all honesty, all the things that we used to do back then, I saw no value in doing it anymore, because I was excited about my walk with the Lord. I was excited about my future. And I've shared time and time again that a lot of people have asked me about my past and the things that I used to do before. And I would gladly share, if I can remember, just give me a minute. You see what I'm saying? Because I don't dwell on those things. I look forward, right? Yes, thank you. Because I thought it was weird for a while. People would be like, you don't remember what you used to do back then? Oh, I do remember. Just give me a minute to think about it. Because I choose to look forward. Amen. But how many of you guys, right? Opposition. You got your friends talking smack behind your back. You got your coworkers. You got your cousins. You got your aunties. Everybody talking smack behind your back. Because they don't understand what you understand. Because we've now put on the mind of Christ and we begin to think differently. And as we think differently, the fruit in our lives are changing, right? Becoming better. Amen. 1 Peter says, beloved, do not be surprised. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be surprised that opposition is going to come. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you, right? You really want to follow Christ? Well, there's a current that's going in the opposite direction. It's called the world, right? It's a fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you. That is, to test the quality of your faith. It's not going to be easy. As though something strange or unusual were happening to you, right? So as if, right? You start thinking, well, as if you think that following Christ was going to be easy. You're a Christian now. Okay, yeah, as if you think it's going to be easy. No, we talked about the current, right? It's called the world, and it's constantly pushing up against you. Amen? So don't be surprised. You guys ever heard the story about the crab in the bucket? I love this. Great, great, great illustration. Okay? Now, this was in my backyard. My mom is getting ready to cook those blue pinchers. I'm just kidding. Right? I see everybody like nodding, like, oh yeah, you actually believe me. Right? Typical Filipino house, backyard. My mom cooked a lot of blue pincher crabs when I was growing up. But the story of the crab in the bucket, great, 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 great illustration. It says this. It says, on one sunny afternoon, a man was walking on the beach and noticed another man fishing in the surf. Is Micah back there? Could be. No. Okay, where was it? I'll start from the beginning. Sorry about the distraction. On one sunny afternoon, a man was walking on the beach and noticed another man fishing in the surf with a bait bucket beside him. And as he drew closer, he noticed the bait bucket had no lid. Everybody say it. It had no lid, but contained several live crabs. Okay, now we live over here, right over here by Wailua River. So there's a lot of crabs right over here in Wailua River. Yeah, nice. Good eating, yeah? The crabs might escape, so why don't you cover your bait bucket? He asked. You don't understand, the man replied. If there is one crab in the bucket, it would certainly crawl out quickly. However, as you can see, there are many crabs in the bucket. If one tries to crawl up and out, the others will quickly grab hold of it and pull it down. So that, and here it is, brothers and sisters, it will share the same fate as the rest of them. Now, you guys are probably thinking, oh gosh, he just described my auntie. He just described my cousin. Oh, he described all my coworkers. Right? I remember when I was enlisted, right, in the Air Force, and I was like, you know what? I'm thinking I'm going to go become an officer. You know, that was always a goal of mine. And I had one of my coworkers, one of my supervisors, he was a technical sergeant at the time, and he was all like, come on, Rosario, why do you want to go be an officer? And he goes, I work for my money. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, you know, are you trying to pull me down? Are you trying to keep me here with you guys? You know, it's nothing like that. It's just, I have goals in life. I want to, you know, that I want to achieve. But that's just a little example of somebody just trying to, you know, don't want you to progress. They don't want you to move ahead in life. And so what do? They talk smack behind your back. They say all kinds of different stuff, right? It's exactly what Sanballat and Tobiah was saying, right? Crabs in the bucket, okay? But again, brothers and sisters, before you start pointing fingers at your auntie and your cousin and your friends and all this kind of stuff, understand that there is a spirit behind it, okay? It is a spirit behind it, yeah? Don't take it personal. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Now, let's go back to the narrative, right? Chapter 4. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Now, Nehemiah prays. So we battle that with prayer. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. In other words, people hate us. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults. They have aroused anger, incensed, in the face of God and the builders. So we rebuilt the wall despite all that talking and nonsense and all this kind of stuff. We rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked with all their heart. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Number two, when you have a God vision, know that God battles on your behalf. So we don't have to retaliate. We don't got to make revenge, right? We don't got to fight back. Our tendency is like, come on then, talk stink about me. Come on, let's go. That's how my high school was, right? But God battles on your behalf, right? And so we battle that with prayer. Exodus 14 says, for the Lord will fight for you while you only need to keep silent and remain calm. 1 Peter 2 says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, temple of the Spirit, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I want to bring this up, brothers and sisters, because you remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about there's a parallel, you guys remember that? Between the walls that Nehemiah was building and our own body, our own temple, our own life. There's a parallel. You guys remember that? Amen? And I'll get to that. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed. Everybody say, gaps were being closed. Now, what are the gaps? The gaps are the holes in your life. The gaps are where we need to strengthen. We talked about relationship, ministry, marriage, finances. We talked about all that, remember? Gaps, pukas, right? Verse 8, for they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. So remember this illustration I showed you guys? Yeah. All right? There's pukas in your relationships. Holy discontent ought to tell you that you need to go fix it. There's pukas in your ministry. There's holes at work. Maybe you're not doing a good job. Maybe you need to improve performance at work. Maybe you need to work on your marriage. You've been neglecting your spouse. Maybe there's a puka in your finances. There's a puka in your checking account is constantly being drained because you're not stewarding it properly. And of course, there might be pukas in your health, right? And so as we look at that, right? Everybody see that? Fixing it, yeah? City of peace, experiencing peace. Amen. So meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers are giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. And so I wanted to show this again, brothers and sisters. That's an illustration of how we might feel surrounded by a lot of naysayers, right? When there's people at work talking smack about us. You see how Sanballat, the Bible tells us that Sanballat was positioned to the north of the city of peace, of Jerusalem. Then there was Tobiah, the Ammonites, who was to the east. Geshem was to the southeast, the Arabs. You see how the Jews and the Arabs to this day don't get along, right? And then you got the Ashdodites. They are the southwest. So we see how the city of Jerusalem was completely surrounded by a lot of naysayers, a lot of negative people. Now, how many of you guys feel like that sometimes? You sometimes feel alone. But you will never alone, right? Because the Holy Spirit is within you. Yeah? I feel like Mufasa. Yeah? When Simba was having his moment, and Mufasa said, "All the kings and the stars in the sky, we are all with you." Right? And so take it as an encouragement. The Holy Spirit reminding us that you are never alone. Right? Although sometimes we feel surrounded by all these negative people talking behind our back and all this kind of stuff, right? "Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families," right? "With their swords, their spears and bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.' When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work." Now I want to go ahead to Nehemiah chapter 6 for a little bit. And I want to kind of share with you guys how sometimes we can get distracted. Everybody say distracted. Check this out. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. This is Nehemiah speaking. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on." Everybody say carrying on. "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" In other words, Sanballat and Geshem, you know what they're doing? You know, like how in the sixth grade when somebody wants to fight you, and they're like, "Go meet me in the back, right? Let's just go beef already." Right? And I'm like, "Why? No need." Right? God has a plan for me. God, I'm gonna be focused, I'm gonna be fixed and focused on what God wants me to do. You're just being a distraction. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? And I'm looking at this. I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Brothers and sisters, your life is a great project. No need to get all caught up in all these different conflicts going on in life. You guys know that song? Is that from Kansas? "Carry on my wayward son." Yeah, some people are looking at me. You guys know that song. I love that song. "There'll be rest when you are done." Anyway, go look it up. Great song. A song from the 70s, 80s. Great song. Number three, when you have a God vision, know that you must respond and not react, and understand that we have people, all of us, to encourage one another. Families coming together, staying focused, working on our project of our lives, our individual projects, working on our project together. Amen. You know, and I was kind of just sharing some of these things with Teresa this morning, and she walked up to me and she goes, because some of you guys heard, right, that they were actually considering shutting our campus down. Okay, now I want to say this again. Bottom line is we are not, okay? But for the past, I want to say 6 months, we've been praying about it. We've been seeking the Lord. We've been wrestling and saying, "Lord, what are we going to do? You know, you lead us. You guide us. This is a project that you have for us. And then you had all these voices. And I will tell you, those were real voices saying, shut that temple down, you know. You don't have to build it. You don't have to rebuild it. Whatever. Take the easy road, you know. And so all these voices were kind of just going at it and all this kind of stuff. But we just shut everything out. We stayed fixed and focused on what God wanted us to do and the mission that he had for us here on the North Shore. So the bottom line is, and Teresa shared last week, that as pastors we came together and we prayed and we said, no, if this is according to our values, according to our holy discontent, these are our values, having Hala'iva as a beacon of light here in this community lines up exactly with our values. And so, brothers and sisters, as we just read in Nehemiah, how all the families are banding together. Amen. And we are all living stones, building the church together within this community. We don't exactly know what God has in store for us. I just know it's going to be good. Amen. And a lot of you, many of you, have shared your hearts about it. You know, a lot of you guys know that we live in Mililani. But we love serving here. You know, Teresa got called to go, you know, serve out there in Mililani this morning. She'll be back next week. Don't fret. Right? But we go wherever the Lord leads. Amen. So I just want to assure you, I just want to put your heart at ease. Amen. To not react at all those kinds of things, but to remain steadfast and to respond properly with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. And the officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. I love that picture, and I want to leave you guys with that picture. You have a trowel in one hand. You guys know what a trowel is, right? If you guys are a mason, have you guys done mason work? Right, trowels are the one with the concrete and the mortar, the bricks and the mortar, and then you got the sword in one hand, right? So we both, and I want you to say this, and this is not in the slide, but say, I am a builder and I am a battler. Yeah, that's good, yeah? I am a builder and I am a battler. Well, what are you building? Building a life. You're building an individual life, but you're also building a life together within a community. And then you're also battling all the naysayers and all the evil spirits that are out there, right? So we are both builders and we are both battlers. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. 2020 vision. And so right now, next week I wanted to share, when Pastor Risa comes back, the enemy within. Okay, so we're going to take a look inward at what the word is going to tell us about the enemy within our own selves. Amen. So as we do that, Communion Sunday, I want to ask, hang on. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we go into a time of communion, amen, as one family, as one ohana, which I am very excited about, we got to get this one right, amen, and we want to make an invitation for you to make sure you get this one right. Because if you're here this morning and you said, you know, Pastor Glenn, I see what the Lord is revealing to me and what he's speaking to me on the inside, and something's rising up on the inside. I got to get involved. I got to be a part of what God is doing here on the North Shore. If that's you, and if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to do that right now. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that there is a forgiveness. Because many people have come up to me and said, you know what, Pastor Glenn, I feel unworthy. Well, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that word unworthy came from straight from the pit of hell. Because the devil does not want you to receive your blessing today. Amen. But there is a forgiveness that is available to everyone because God is love. God first love. God loves you. And I want to ask, brothers and sisters, if you would allow God to pour His love into your life. Allow Him. Because it is impossible. It is impossible to allow sin and separation into a communion with Him. And all we need to do, brothers and sisters, is to turn from our old ways and turn to Jesus and say, "Yes, Jesus, You are my Lord. I declare that today." Because heaven is your home and it's waiting for you. In the book of John, Jesus says, "I have, in my Father's house, I have many mansions. One of them is prepared for you. But your work is not done yet." Amen. There's a lot of wonderful things that the Lord has in store for you while we are here on earth. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're that person this morning and you want to place your faith in Jesus Christ today, because you want to declare that you are both a builder and a battler. Amen. If that is you, just go ahead and raise your hands. Absolutely. We see you, sister. You put it down. The Lord sees you. The Lord receives you. The Lord is excited. The Holy Spirit receives you. And if you're here this morning, brothers and sisters, and you said, "You know what, Pastor Glenn, I used to follow the Lord before, but I started listening to all these voices, all these people talking smack behind my back, but I started listening to them. Their voice became louder than the Holy Spirit's. And that caused you to drift away from the Lord. That caused you to drift away, but you're back. And the Lord wants you home." And if that's you, brothers and sisters, just go ahead and raise your hands. Just go ahead and raise your hands. Hallelujah. And everybody repeat after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, You are my Lord. I declare that today. And I thank You for the little kids for reminding us to come boldly before the throne room of grace with the faith as a little child." Hallelujah. To You be the glory. Amen and amen. Yes. We thank You, Lord, for that reminder. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and ask the brothers to pass out the elements this morning as we take bread together, communion, and we celebrate. Thank you, James. You know, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you all for rising up. You know who you are. You guys see a need. You know, a lot of what Nehemiah has taught us, that families get tired, families get weary, and then other families rise up to say, "You know what, I'm going to build a wall now while you rest." And you encourage one another and strengthen one another. So you know who you are. Thank you for listening to the voice of God in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so with that, as we come together as one family, one ohana, celebrating together, I love the picture that we see in the New Testament when Jesus Christ was sitting around with His disciples. Jesus was reclining with His disciples. And at this point, I believe Jesus Christ was making that transition from discipler, disciplee, disciple, all of a sudden becoming co-laborers now. Everybody say co-laboring. And that's what we do, brothers and sisters. To co-labor means to build something together, to work side by side, to come together and to encourage one another. And as we are building the kingdom of God together here in the North Shore, we are co-laboring. What a wonderful picture, amen. And so I believe Jesus was making that transition at the Last Supper. He was saying, you know what? I'm going to go now. Right? But you guys can do it because when I leave, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And you're going to do greater things than I have ever done. Do you believe that? That's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? I don't know. Jesus did a lot of wonderful things. He performed miracles. Right? But he was an example of what we are going to be doing. Because Jesus promised that we're going to do greater things. He did great and wonderful things. But we are going to do even greater and more wonderful things in our life. And sometimes we don't see it. Trust me, brothers and sisters. Wonderful things are going to come in the year 2020. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So it was on the night when Jesus was betrayed. It had to happen. It was on the night when Jesus was betrayed. He sat around with his disciples. He took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He broke it. And he passed it around. He said, take, eat, for this is my body. My body that will be broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Brothers and sisters, the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the same way, when Jesus took the cup of the new covenant, the cup of wine, the blood, the cup of life, he said, take, drink, for this is my blood that will be shed for all mankind. And by faith, brothers and sisters, receive our wholeness, receive our health, receive our shalom. Because when we receive our shalom, we receive our peace, we receive everything above and beyond all that Jesus is, all that Jesus has to offer. Amen. Receive it in Jesus' name. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. Father God, we thank you. We come before you ever so humbly with gratefulness in our hearts, Lord God, for all that you've done at the cross of Calvary. We thank you for a wonderful January and we look forward to a wonderful rest of the year. But Lord God, pour blessing upon my brothers and sisters in their lives and reveal to them your presence to them every day as we continue to walk faithfully with you, Lord Jesus. You lead, we follow. Holy Spirit, have your way in every aspect of our life. Rebuke us if need be. Correct us if need be, because we know, Lord God, you love us. And so, brothers and sisters, receive that love as we praise the wonderful, matchless, powerful name of Jesus Christ, and all in agreement say, Amen. Can I ask everybody to stand as we go out?